This is the Impact Report. I'm your host, Katie Ullman. The Impact Report brings together students and faculty in Bard College's MBA in Sustainability program with leaders in business, sustainability, finance, social entrepreneurship, and more. These conversations go live the first and third Friday of each month. This week, Bard MBA's Emma Jenkins and Lucien Harlow Dion speak with Lily Traeger, Executive Director and Director of Investing with Impact and Head of Impact Solutions for Morgan Stanley Wealth Management.
Well, hi, Lily. My name is Lucien. Pleased to meet you this morning.
Hi, Lucien. Nice to meet you.
I'm Emma Jenkins. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
My pleasure. Hi, Emma.
So, Lily, I'm going to kick things off. We wanted to start asking you about actually where you went to get your MBA. You attended Bainbridge Graduate Institute, which is now Presidio Graduate School. Ben and I attend Bard's MBA in Sustainability. And I think it's interesting that, you know, neither is a traditional quote-unquote MBA because sustainability is baked into the curriculum at both schools. So we wanted to, you know, see how that starting point affected your trajectory, what you think the benefits were, and what you might say to someone considering or completing an MBA today, based on your experience.
Sure. It's a fantastic question. And, you know, at the time when I was considering business school programs, over a decade ago, I was considering both traditional and sustainable programs. And at the time, there was very little on the sustainable front, as I'm sure you can all appreciate. There was one dedicated school, Bainbridge Graduate Institute, and there were several dedicated tracks within some of the larger traditional, MBA programs. And so both were part of my consideration process. For me, I had the kind of, unique experience of already being in the sustainable and impact investing space, having started in 2006 with a focus on institutional investment consulting and transitioning over time towards due diligence and research, always in that sustainable and impact investing realm. I had, committed my career to that space and accelerating the flow of capital towards sustainable and impact investing. So it was a natural extension to also think about my graduate training ground as an extension of that focus and passion. So I certainly took the decision, I did not take the decision lightly. It was a challenge to determine ultimately, where I thought the industry was going, but I believed firmly that sustainable impact investing was moving closer and closer towards mainstream, and that spending my years with like-minded individuals focused on triple bottom line accounting and how really to think about sustainable and impact as an integrated part of traditional business school curriculum was the best path for me. And I look back at those days extremely fondly, not only because Bainbridge Graduate Institute was on a beautiful island off of Seattle, so it was, business school in the woods, if you will, but also because it allowed me to continue working professionally. So it was a kind of executive style program in the sense that there was some virtual content and in-person content, which afforded me the ability to continue working and applying what I was learning in a practical setting. And also, I see what some of my classmates are doing in terms of leading as, sustainable corporate directors, as innovators inside of finance and investing, as focused on shareholder engagement and really trying to influence companies through engagement. And I know I'm amongst a group of folks who are passionate and dedicated and connected through our shared experience in school. So that's been fantastic. And for those who are considering MBA programs going forward, look, you no longer have to choose between a sustainable oriented program or a traditional program. They're now more integrated than ever, and there are multiple, right, dedicated programs, standalone dedicated programs as well. So you absolutely have the benefit of choice at this moment in time, and I think also a broader ecosystem of job opportunity once you do graduate.
Yeah, that's Thanks. Great, Lily. Yeah. And also thinking about your network of former colleagues in your graduate program, it's really so powerful for mission-driven professionals to stay connected in that way. And you're a founding member of WISE, Women Investing for Sustainable Economy organization, which I'm a proud member. And it's really, really had a very successful year, and it's expanded. And it's just been a really strong organization from the time that it got started until today. And so can you say a little bit about why you think it's been so successful, why it's such a critical group to exist?
Absolutely. And thank you for the question, Emma. So WISE, as you said, Women Investing for a Sustainable Economy, really has a dual focus of advancing sustainable investing and advancing women's leadership through a supportive community of those who identify as women, and also are focused on the sustainable and impact investing industry. So having founded the organization with my fellow co-founders, Eva Zlotnicka and Lori Choi, in 2012 here in New York City, whereby we basically had monthly meetings, hosted in each other's living rooms, and really cultivated deep relationships over our mutual interest in the growing field of sustainable and impact investing. And at the time, there were, fewer folks in the industry. There were, fewer dedicated efforts across major global firms. And so, we really did have that feeling of being, kind of individuals inside of larger organizations or, part of smaller organizations dedicated to the space. And we wanted that ability to come together and to bond over our shared passion and interests, both professionally and personally. And I think that connection, right, that community has ultimately led to the success of WISE today, where across 8 global chapters, we have, over 2,000 members and monthly events across most chapters. And even in a virtual environment where the chapter leaders have done an amazing job continuing to facilitate connection between members, right? And we've also started doing more global content because place matters less, right? You can create global events virtually. And so that has definitely been an evolution of WISE as well, kind of the post-COVID-19 environment. But it's a great, weekend warrior passion of mine. And I think the purpose is more relevant now than ever, in both growing the sustainable and impact investing industry, but also in supporting, supporting the professional development of people who identify as women.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's such a great network of really talented, passionate, and intelligent women. I always feel really full after attending an event. So it's definitely a great organization.
Thanks. And Lily, we wanted to ask you a little bit about a day in the life at Morgan Stanley and what you do. Could you speak to kind of the size of your team and how it's organized maybe a little, what your clients are looking for and how you consult to answer some of their questions around impact investing?
Absolutely. So by way of background, right, sustainable and impact investing has been a priority at Morgan Stanley for over a decade through the visionary leadership of James Gorman, our chairman and CEO, and Audrey Choi, our chief sustainability officer and chief marketing officer, who launched Global Sustainable Finance at the firm level in 2009 to really build a leading focus and strategy across all of our businesses to knit sustainable and impact investing into our core capabilities. That was over a decade ago. And if you think about the timing on that, right, with the Great Recession having commenced in 2008, the timing was really remarkable because it showed a commitment from the highest levels of leadership across our firm to sustainable and impact investing as a future growth driver of our business at a time when most of our competitors were ultimately reducing their resource allocation to ancillary, as it was deemed, activities. And so I think that that visionary leadership ultimately has set the stage for Morgan Stanley to grow and develop our commitment to the space over time. And that, you know, has been certainly driven by increasing investor demand, right? Whether it's clients who are interested in, values alignment, making sure that their impact goals are met through their investments, or investors like long-term institutions that might be focused on mitigating risk or the potential for outperformance. But that demand has really been a key driver in our innovation as well. And so in 2012, we launched the Investing with Impact platform across Morgan Stanley Wealth Management, really the first major platform led by a financial services institution solely dedicated to sustainable and impact investing. And since then, we've seen significant momentum both across our firm and the industry. Today, nearly 50% of financial advisors, we have upwards of 15,000 financial advisors, are using, consistently using Investing with Impact investment strategies to help build portfolios on behalf of their clients. And so that penetration, that utilization by financial advisors and clients has really grown over time. And that what we're able to do is focus our objectives across Investing with Impact on advisor and client education, on providing innovative products and portfolio solutions, on developing cutting edge tools and analysis, such as our impact reporting capabilities, Morgan Stanley Impact Quotient, which we launched around a year ago this time in collaboration with Global Sustainable Finance. And, also allows us to develop thought leadership and publications that are helping to promote better awareness of sustainable and impact investing and connect our clients to themes that might matter most to them, like mitigating or adapting to climate change, or helping to accelerate the flow of capital to communities that have historically been underserved, women, people of color, disabled, LGBTQ, right? And so our team is pretty remarkable in the sense that we have a lot of industry experience, over 50 years of industry experience. And we work really closely with the broader ecosystem of sustainable and impact investing efforts across the firm to deliver value to our clients. And that value that we deliver is can simply be referred to as the ability for our clients to generate market rate returns right alongside positive environmental and social impact and all of the products and portfolios and tools and research that supports and underpins that.
The Impact Report podcast is brought to you this week by Continental Advisory Services. Continental Advisory Services provides unbiased financial advice, helping clients to think outside the box to identify hidden opportunities. For more than 15 years, Continental Advisory Services has driven investment in environmental solutions, including energy storage and environmental engineering. Visit continentaladvisory.com to learn more about their work or to speak with a client specialist.
Is there one question that people come to you with if they are starting to grapple with the questions around impact investing?
Yeah, I mean, the major question that's on our clients' minds is the same question that has been on their minds for many decades as it relates to the performance, financial performance of their investment portfolios, they want to know, how am I performing as it relates to my impact goals? Am I actually generating the types of positive environmental and social outcomes that I thought to generate through setting up the portfolio that I have? And, you know, many of our clients are focused on particular themes, again, climate change, community economic resilience, right, and others, while, you know, some clients are just focused on broad-based sustainability and thinking about this both at the level of, you know, navigating utilization of natural resources, but also social and governance dimensions. So clients want to know how they're doing. And they really haven't had that ability to sort of systematically, both quantitatively and qualitatively, assess their investments down to the security level to see how well they align with their unique impact goals until we launched Morgan Stanley Impact Quotient. So our reporting capabilities help our clients to get at that question, which is critically important, and we'll continue to enhance those over time to meet the needs of our clients.
Yeah, and we wanted to hear a little bit more about the impact quotient. You know, what's the approach to the tool or the methodology, and also maybe how are you able to successfully deliver a report using the impact quotient to your clients? You know, the impact investing space is full of complexity and jargon, and so how do you utilize that data tool to help clients really get a good grapple on their impact and what it means to do so through their investments?
Sure. It's a fantastic question. It's a subject I love. And as I mentioned, the development of Morgan Stanley Impact Quotient was really a firm-wide collaboration through showcasing the best and the brightest thinking across many of our capabilities, both technology, data, right, client insight, and distribution. And the problem we were trying to solve was to help investors really get at the environmental and social impact of their investments. And the challenge we were facing is that there's inconsistent data, right? There's hundreds of data providers which are now seeking to deliver insights on, you know, environmental, social, and governance dimensions. Much of it is sort of inconsistent, non-correlated, right? And ultimately requires a significant amount of massaging, right? Auditing, verifying, mm-hmm. and ultimately making useful. And there's no consistent rating system globally, right? Certainly there are some global norms like the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals and some other you know, asset class specific rating systems and corporate rating mm-hmm. systems, but at the sort of investor portfolio level, there really isn't. And so Morgan Stanley Impact Quotient seeks to solve that problem. And what we have been able to create is, again, launched in 2019, a patent-pending application that sits on the desktop of our financial advisors and captures, ingests the client's unique impact profile. So that can be a selection from over 100 environmental and social priorities. And once those goals are understood and ultimately placed inside of this technology application, then the advisor can ultimately run a set of reports, right, up to 15 modules, which x-ray the client's portfolio and provide transparency into how well their current investments are aligned with their environmental and social objectives. And from there, we've developed an alignment engine whereby advisors can identify new investment opportunities that might be better aligned if there are, in fact, areas of the portfolio that aren't meeting the client's impact goals. So it's this really end-to-end system, right? Understand and discover the client's impact goals, assess and provide transparency into the client's current investments through the reporting application, and ultimately evolve the portfolio over time as needed to better match the client's goals. So that end-to-end client-centric system, I think, is what differentiates MSIQ today.
Yeah, wow, that's really powerful, because I think that one of the reasons ESG data is not well correlated because there's so many varying philosophies and different ways that different data providers might rank certain ESG factors based on values. So to be able to customize that data for the clients is a pretty amazing tool. That's great.
That's such a great point. And I think, you know, how people are largely utilizing ESG data today is at the ratings or scoring level, right? So they're, mm-hmm. they're leveraging the sort of underlying algorithms or black box methodology of the big ESG data providers. What we've done is ultimately said that that may lead to unintended outcomes. And so data needs to be used in its rawest form, right? The underlying data mm-hmm. form. And ultimately match to the client's unique objectives to provide that level of transparency. And we're seeing this movement, you know, broadly. Others are understanding that the ratings or scoring data may have unintended consequences, and hence leveraging the raw underlying data to ultimately drive decision useful insights.
Awesome, thank you.
As you were alluding to, impact is hard to define, so it's really interesting that you've developed this end-to-end solution. Could you speak to specifically the thematic toolkits that Morgan Stanley uses and how that helps
sure.
investors align their impact goals to their investments?
Absolutely. So the idea behind our toolkit, is to provide a client-facing guide to help navigate complex, often politicized themes from an investment perspective. So what are the risks and opportunities associated with transitioning to a low carbon economy and climate change and fossil fuel aware investing? What are the investment risks and opportunities associated with gender equity investing or faith-based investing? And ultimately, our client-facing guides navigate and provide a continuum of investment opportunities that are actionable, right? That a client can say, okay, now I understand this theme, not as a subject I'm reading on the front page of my local paper, but I understand this theme as an investment idea and how it relates to the types of strategies that I might own in my family's or nonprofits, you know, portfolio, both public equity and public fixed income, as well as on the alternative side for qualified clients. And so the way we've really developed this stable of toolkits is based on both, you know, product proliferation and availability, but also market opportunity, and finally client demand. And so ultimately that's really centered us around, you know, 6 or 7 toolkits, you know, retirement investing, 401k investing, climate change and fossil fuel aware, diversity, equity, and inclusion, faith-based investing, and investing for foundations around mission alignment. How do you take your mission statement and translate that to an investment policy statement and investment plan? And those toolkits have helped over the years our clients and their advisors navigate these themes and apply them to constructing a portfolio. So we're looking at providing access to innovative products, right, aligned with the themes, broader portfolios that are diversified across asset classes, and then of course tools like MSIQ that can help to assess the alignment with those themes over time.
Okay, so Lucianne, do you think we should maybe move to our final question, since we're kind of nearing 10 o'clock and we definitely want to hear perspective on that one? Does that sound okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, great. So this question is really thinking about your work, Lily, in the outlook of a post-pandemic future, and really thinking about how those impact themes have shifted as of late, whether it relates to, you know, worker rights or health crises, and also, you know, the country's response to the killing of George Floyd and others, and as those themes might embrace racial justice. How is that looking?
Well, you hit on all the main points, right? We are at a unique moment in time where now more than ever, sustainable impact investing is top of mind for our clients. For all the right reasons, right? Because it reflects the growing confidence that the types of companies that are taking care of their employees, right, that are utilizing natural resources efficiently, that are ultimately seeking to empower a diverse set of opinions and perspective across diverse stakeholders, are those that will perform over time, right, that have the potential to be strong financial performers and mitigate risk. And so we are seeing that accelerating flow of capital to sustainable and impact investing during this unique moment in time. And as you said, we've had, you know, all too powerful reminders of, you know, some of the systemic injustices which exist along social and racial dimensions, and how important it is to really utilize all tools, right, including the private investor capital, to ultimately seek solutions towards that end. So in terms of my outlook, right, I've never been more optimistic that sustainable impact investing will continue to grow and achieve the outcomes it's seeking to achieve, right, with greater ability to target certain themes through investments, as well as the ability to measure the outcomes of those investments across asset classes. I ultimately believe that will lead toward a significant acceleration in investment capital and significant positive outcomes along some of these dimensions. From a thematic perspective, I would say that we still see our clients focused on the same historical trends pre-COVID, right? Transitioning to a low carbon economy, diversity, equity, and inclusion, faith-based investing, as well as a focus on community economic resilience. And I think there's just a heightened awareness across several of those themes, and an increasing ability for investors to target those themes through their investments in such a way that can meet their long-term financial goals and generate positive environmental and social outcomes.
Yeah, that absolutely makes sense. I mean, the past year has been quite the use case for the kind of economic impacts that can result from environmental disruptions, right? So I like how you folded that piece of risk mitigation in with optimism for utilizing this as a solution.
Great. Thank you guys so much for these excellent questions. I'm sure we could talk for days on the topic and hope that some of the insights will provide value for some of your listeners. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your time, Lily. This was a great conversation.
Learn more about the topics discussed in today's episode by visiting morganstanley.com. Join us for the next episode of the Impact Report on Friday, October 2nd. We'll be speaking with Mitchell Silver, Commissioner of the New York City Department of Parks and Recreation. Complete lineup and other news, visit us at impactreportpodcast.com and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Bard MBA in Sustainability is one of a select few graduate programs globally that fully integrates sustainability into a core business curriculum. Learn more at bard.edu/MBA.